I am your host today and so happy to be your host today. I'm here with Elizabeth Wood, and we were just chatting, and I can't wait to introduce you all to her because she's absolutely lovely, and her work sounds so interesting, so I'm ready to hear more about it. So welcome, Elizabeth. So happy to have
Thank
you here.
Thank you so much.
You're
so pleased
welcome.
To
speak to you. Yay. All right. So for those of you that don't know Elizabeth, she is considered a world-class seer who works on the cutting edge of remote viewing, quantum healing, and quantum anthropology. With her lifelong ability to see into all dimensions and work with the quantum and spiritual realms, her remote viewing and healing work has helped all over the world. Called Living Library, Oracle, and Wayshower, Elizabeth has spent her whole life studying ancient and modern medicine, anthropology theory, quantum physics, and futurism. She has 2 science degrees, including a master's in applied anthropology. So this is so fascinating how this all ties together, Elizabeth, and I can't wait to hear a little bit more about that. And also, we're going to do lots and lots and lots of readings and connection with our audience today. So again, welcome, and welcome everybody to joining us today.
Yay, thank you. I love doing live readings, so we'll have lots of fun.
Yay, that's awesome. So before we dive into that, I just wanted to ask you, because this is really fascinating to me, but how does your training as an anthropologist set you up to be a really unique healer and teacher? It's really, really fascinating.
Yeah, so we got to define anthropology, actually, because I find a lot of folks don't actually know what that is. That's okay. Anthropology is the study of human beings, past, present, and future. So it's an incredibly broad science, and it's also an interesting, unusual science in that I'm a human who's studying other humans. How can I be really, truly objective? And that's kind of how I got into anthropology in the first place, is because I wanted to know, are there other people out there like me? Are there other people in the world who have the gifts and talents, and sometimes they don't feel like gifts, but there they are. and the soul skill sets that I have, and why exactly? I wanted to know where exactly humans came from. What happened to us over all these years? Why are we in this sense of bondage? Why are we suffering so much? Why do we have this bad relationship with the earth? So I wanted to answer all these questions and come into learning about the truth. So as I was in school, of course, discovering what I was being told was the truth, and at the same time being guided by, say, my angelic guide saying, no, that's not the whole truth, or that's not true at all, or, you know, I'd have them over my shoulder, even when I'm like trying to take a test and they're like, that's wrong. I'm like, no, it's right, to the teacher. That's going to get me an A. Whatever you're saying might be true, but they haven't caught up yet. So like, for example, at one point, I had to write on a test that humans are 100,000 years old, and that's not true. We're 500,000 years old. And then a couple of years ago, they found a skull in Morocco that's 300,000 years old. So then it completely changes the entire historical record. It's those kinds of things that were really fascinating to me, but at the same time, very frustrating. And I learned what I needed to learn out of science to be able to remain objective, to be able to be in total non-judgment. That's what I was trained to do as an anthropologist, to help people solve their own problems and own their empowered solutions. And so when I came out of school, here's 10 years of college, and I felt lost. I didn't have the answer still, and I didn't have anyone that I could talk to about what I thought I knew from the guidance I was getting or the things I was seeing. So I also didn't know how to really be a good seer or psychic. And although I had the gift, I didn't know what the rules were. So I was very, very blessed to end up getting a job with a mystic. and I worked for 10 years and have still been working with her. Her name's Lucia Renee. But I've been working with this mystic for a very long time at this point. Now it's been just as long as I've been in college. And I got to actually talk about the parameters of my gifts and learning what the rules are and how to break them the right way, if I needed to. But more so, I learned about what human beings are really needing. And it's not just this crazy cultural learning that we go through. It's far, far more in depth than that. It goes into our galactic history, that we're part of a huge history, a galactic history, that we're players on this galactic stage, and that human beings have been deeply marginalized and used in our galactic history. And this was so important to discover, because then I could actually look at a person's situation and not only help them with their physical issues and their mental, emotional issues, but their spiritual ones too, giving them a chance to be sovereign beings again and get them in a place of freedom and help them, of course, unplug from all of the bondage that they've suffered with. And even more so, to be able to have more full control over your human experience by using your body as it's meant to be utilized, a beautiful technological machine. And so I get to use all the anthropological theory that I learned and developed myself, because I was a theorist. But going into that, looking at the future of humanity, I'm interested in watching human beings help each other come into collaboration and mergers to be able to finally unplug from all the bondage and suffering they've been experiencing, because it's supposed to be fun here. We're not, a lot of us aren't having fun. We're suffering because we got to worry about the money, and we got to worry about the bills, got to worry about the relationships, and we worry, leaking energy. And then we don't have any fun being human at all, when that was the whole point. That's the point of being human, is that we can enjoy creating and manifesting in the 3D. So my goal in life is to help humanity. Everyone says, what's your niche group? And I'm like, humans, human beings. That's my niche group. That's who I care about, because we are a marginalized group in the galaxy. So I'm here to help, and I'm really glad. Thank you so much for letting me share that little story there.
You're welcome. I love it, and I love how it ties all the pieces together and brought you to where you are today, and we get to experience that. So thank you for sharing. So we have lots of people on the call, lots of people on the webcast, questions already coming in. So before we dive into that, is there something in particular that you, you know, who is right for a reading today? Like who should be raising their hand so they know that they're right to have a reading today?
Well, I think if you feel like you've got some big block, especially around your experience spiritually, that we can look at that, and I can help you name the block and give you some easy ideas really quickly to be able to help you. If you're needing to understand a little bit more about what your soul skill sets are showing up, or what soul skill sets are really showing up right now for you that you might not even notice yet, or maybe you didn't even realize you had them, that would be also very useful. And then if you're just wanting to know what's the thing that Source wants to show me right now, I'm an oracle. That means I'm a mirror. And so I know how to move completely out of the way. I totally have an ego. I'm not enlightened. but my ego, I know how to set my ego aside. I have this little lawn chair next to me in my mind. And I put my ego in the lawn chair with a drink. And I say, you sit over there. I'm working. And then I am a mirror, so I ask Source, the Source field, which is the creation field in general for this universe and all universes. But I just ask to be shown, what is the thing that this person needs to know right now? So if you're interested in knowing, hey, what do you need to know right this moment? What's the biggest block right this moment? And what's the big skill set that's showing up that you need to know right now? Then I'm happy to do that for you. That's the kind of parameters we could do without going over too long for someone.
Perfect. Very good. Thank you for that. So if you guys are on the call and you want to raise your hand, press star 2 to raise your hand, or you can also write in if you're on the webcast, any of the blocks, the reading, you know, anything that you're looking for with what Elizabeth said. So you can go ahead and do that now. So I see hands raised, so we might as well just dive in. If you want to pick a number here between 1 and 15.
Oh, I get to pick a number?
You do.
Okay. 7.
All right. Number 7. Your first 3 digits are 508. You are unmuted.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I just thought that was so cosmic because my favorite number is 7 as well.
Awesome.
Ding, ding.
So I guess for me, I've just been reading a lot of things and things like that and about starseed souls and things like that.
Yes.
And I definitely resonate with that. And I feel kind of like, hi, I'm here. But I don't feel like I feel like a visitor. And then I just don't necessarily know what I signed up for to be here and to help
I got you covered.
And I'm a wife. I have 4 children. So I kind of feel stuck and or lost. So I'm just trying to see my purpose is, what I should be doing, because I just kind of feel like I'm out in the abyss, just kind of floating there.
Yeah, so I kind of hear 2 questions. What's your starseed family exactly?
I don't
what
know.
What is... Yeah, I can tell you. I can already see it. So also, what's the purpose? I can answer that, because it's the same for everyone, and that'll help clarify. And then, you know, what are you being asked to help with? We'll definitely answer that. So quickly, you're one of these beautiful souls who have had many histories with a lot of different starseed families. A soul doesn't just spend time with one species, obviously. So you have lots of Pleiadian, you have lots of Sirian. The 2 very classic starseed families show up immediately in your field. So they're very different, though. The Pleiadians are incredible healers. They work with water. They love water. They love frequency. And, of course, water and frequency work wonderful together. And the Sirians are engineers of consciousness. So they're very, very logical. So you're this person who has an incredible balance between the engineering mind and the creative healer mind. So that's showing up, and that's going to come through in the different things you do. I think the purpose is the same for everyone. The purpose of the universe and the purpose of any kind of individuated consciousness is simply to answer the big question that this universe is based on. And the universe is based off the question, what is love? And in discovering what love is, we also discover what it's not. And so all of us here are here to continue to feed back to the source field, what is love and what is love not? And that's the point of our lives. We're feeding back into the source field, which we come from, all that information from our experiences. And so you've discovered, of course, lots of things that have different kinds of ways of being in love, like with your children and your partner, and with family and friends, with nature, and also the things that you don't love. And all that's really, really valuable, because each individual experience is completely unique. So the first thing I want to point out for you is, when we're wondering why we're here on the planet exactly, when we're coming to visit, which we are, each of us are visitors, right? We're souls coming to animate these human bodies. You aren't your body. You're the soul that animates the body. So the soul of you, who has this incredible history, has come through the body. And the question ought to be very very much the same for each of us. What is the vulnerable group that needs our help the most right now? So who is included in this vulnerable group? Well, of course, we can think of children and then of sick people, animals, women who are pregnant, giving birth, or who have given birth, their vulnerable group, people who are incarcerated, men and who've come back from war, veterans, those are vulnerable groups. So we can, there's a long list of people who need help. And so in your life at the moment, if you're going to ask yourself every once in a while, maybe every month, what vulnerable group is coming into my attention right now? Maybe it's just the kids for a little while. And then maybe it switches over and suddenly you notice that your heart really opens up around the animals. And when you see animals suffering, it really irks you. And you feel like you really need to do something about it. Well, then they're coming into your attention for you to go help them. Now, when it comes to what you're signing up for, most of us didn't read the fine print. And it's a lot of different things. One of them is that you're here to help heal your ancestry and heal your own DNA. When you're healing your DNA, you heal your ancestors because your DNA is like a house full of junk, right? That you inherited.
Yeah.
And so, you know, over here in the corner is your great grandpa's drinking problems written in your DNA. Even though you might not have drinking problems, it's still there written in your DNA. And it's 500,000 years of stuff. But the good news is that it's a rewritable CD. And just like archaeology, if you're cleaning up all of the dark density, moving through layers of dark and dense stuff, you're actually going to move all those layers out of the way a lot faster than they got there. So once we are awake enough to say, wow, I have a lot more control over this physical experience than I was led to believe, that would be some of the fine print that we didn't really read. And then, of course, there's the piece around changing yourself to change your world. It's, you know, I like to say enlightenment, culture change, society change is an inside job. If you're working on you, you're going to see massive changes in your children and your family. You're going to see changes in your friends and the people you're related to. You're going to see changes in the place you live. And it's going to come from the inside out like a beautiful seed that you plant, a seed of light that you plant, and it grows and it fractals out and it continues to take over like ivy. And it will actually create change. And these are measurable things. I like measurable results because I'm a scientist. And so when we do inner work and we see the measurable results, well, now it's been many thousands of people who've used particular focuses like, hey, I'm going to work on my DNA, or I'm going to work with this vulnerable group, and I'm going to shift into non-judgment. I'm going to move my judgment about people, places, and things out of the way. And they do that inner work, well, then they're going to watch changes happen in measurable results. So the next step for you that's coming up is start to weave light into things. Part of what you're good at is that you're an alchemist. It's a skill set that you haven't really dug into that much yet. And alchemy means that you can weave light into everything you say, do, or create. So you can practice playing with weaving light. Just ask for the right quality of light to move through your heart, into your hands, and into the things that you're doing. See if you can allow light to move through from your heart into your voice, so that when you're speaking to people, light is woven into your voice and your words and the frequency of your body, and you'll be able to actually see quite a difference in the way people respond to you, including your kids. And then play with filling your heart field with light every day and do a heart command each day. So your command center is actually your heart. You have three brains. And so this is what it sounds like. You might say, dear heart, please lift any dark or dense energy, negative programs, or trauma from my whole body and field and my DNA now. And then you'll take a big deep breath And then you'll say, "Dear heart, please fill my whole body and field with the quality of light that the source field wants me to maintain today, now." And then you'll take another deep breath. Use that easy technique as often as you like to shift negative emotions out of the way, reactions or triggers. Replace everything with light and watch your experience get lighter, brighter, and far more intuitive than it ever has been. So those are the steps that I am seeing right now, the easy, really, you know, baby steps here, and that you'll need right now. But does this resonate with you?
I feel so. I feel like everything, especially the things that you talked about with vulnerable groups, was like everything that I've been interested in. I've done doula work. I contemplated about being a midwife. I am part of the DAR. We help veterans. So it was like everything. I'm like,
oh my gosh,
yes,
I love it.
and then especially with what's going on with the migrant children, for me, that's for sure definitely heartbreaking. And so for me, you know, just basically pleading to the universe, because I don't understand how people can see that that's okay, because at the end of the day, we're all human. And, you know, and I just think to myself at times, and I ponder, because I'm like, how is it that we are here today, yet there's still people who can be so malicious, just so, saying it, I guess, as nice as I can, but still so vile. You know, I feel like as human beings, like, haven't we evolved from this barbaric nature? And also, like, why do we need that today still? And so, yes, I contemplate those things, but everything you said basically was spot on.
Good contemplations. And at the root of it, it's going to be that discovery. What is love and what is not love? Some of those people are focusing in on the what is not love part, and they might not be conscious of that fully. But that's what they needed to look at the most. And furthermore, the bondage that has occurred for 500,000 years created a very sick society globally. And so that's what's being undone at the moment. Now, while you're feeling helpless far away from the border, you still have a lot you can do. Your heart field has a lot of quantum power. Everything is functioning at the quantum source field level, even though we might not be able to see it. So don't forget that your blessings, your sending of blessings and light and supportive energy of whatever type comes through, I call it qualities of light. Pick a quality of light, or let the earth pick the quality of light, or let the source field pick the quality of light. And imagine holding all those children in your hands in front of you, many thousands and of children in your hands. Imagine them there, and then bless them each day. It can be very, very profound what can happen if you give them that chance to be blessed by your light, even if you're thousands of miles away. And I've told people that who can't necessarily see this stuff, but I can, and my job is to be an identifier of this and to point it out, that you can save many, many lives by doing this. You can help a lot, much more than is something we can even imagine. But that's what the preciousness of your ability as a weaver of light can actually do. You can weave creations of light to support those children. You can create beautiful spheres of golden woven light, if you like. Whatever comes to mind that feels like best for you. Shower them with rose petals of unconditional love or starlight, whatever you want to. And don't doubt that you have an effect. If you're not sure if you have an effect or not, just go read about quantum entanglement. It's just it's a scientific fact. And quantum entanglement is the reason why this works. So it's a scientific reason why your blessings actually go somewhere. So you're not, you don't have to feel helpless. You don't have to be angry and not feeling like you can do anything, because you can.
And it's interesting that you say that, because beforehand that I had visualized, you know, just like all the children and just kind of being there and giving them like warm, loving light so that they don't feel alone.
That's right. And you know what? You'd be amazed at the fact that they actually feel that. amazed. Mm-hmm. And they do. Awesome. Good. You're awesome. Awesome. Very glad to help. What was your name?
Helen, which actually means
Helen.
Light. So that's why I think it's
there we go.
Oh,
fabulous.
Thank you, Helen.
I'm so glad to have you in the world.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thanks for joining, Helen. All right. Awesome. I love that, how that message of that you can help in your way, that you don't need to feel helpless. So that was a great message.
Never.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, quantum entanglement.
Yeah.
So I'll give a quick definition. Quantum entanglement is the fact that when two particles of any type meet, from then on, if one thing happens to one of those particles, no matter how far in space-time they're separated, that will have an effect on the other particle. And the fact is that we've all been one particle before. At the very beginning of the universe, we were all one. And so that means that every tiny thing you do has an effect on the universe. We get to see this stuff a lot more clearly as we clear out our DNA. You can see better. Your psychic abilities and your empath abilities, your intuitive abilities get better and stronger. And of course, when we leave these bodies, our consciousness remains and we get to actually see it from the quantum level working. And then we get to review all the different ways that all the activities we did, like me talking today, what quantum change did it have on the universe? Well, those are things you get to see, and that's really special, but that's exactly what quantum entanglement is.
Very cool. Thank you for that. Very interesting and fascinating, and it makes you think just about everything, like what you're doing on a daily basis. Like you said, like this call today, what impact is that going to have?
Mm-hmm.
So,
you wiggle your pinky, and it makes waves across the universe. Pretty weird.
Yeah, very, very cool. All right, so I have a write-in from Joanne, and she says, I would love to hear what my soul would really like me to know right now. I'm enjoying a whole new life, and I wonder what of my skill sets will be of most help now. With so much gratitude, Joanne.
Yeah, so Joanne, you know, first I notice you've got this incredible amount of powerful love energy that is one of those signals of someone that I call the royal energy. It's the king or queen. But instead of the king or queen being served, the truth of the king or queen energetic is that they are servants of the world. So your field is this giant throne room, and every person, place, or thing that comes into the throne room, even if they're not really close to you, maybe they're down the street and you happen to notice them. Anything that comes into your attention is there so you can bestow beautiful blessings upon whomever, whatever person, place, or thing is there. So that's the first thing. Practice with that. You probably already do this, Joanne, but just kind of make it something that you're doing consistently and just attending to. All right, so I noticed this person coming into my field. What is the quality of light that they need the most? You might not ever speak to them or know them, but there's a reason why they came into your attention. And secondly, you're a very good strategist, Joanne. You're very good at strategy, and I think that it's really important to play with that. How can you serve in your position with your beautiful new life? How can you serve the most vulnerable group that's coming into your attention right now? So what group is that exactly? And how can you strategically find clever ways to help them? Because you're quite good at that. So those are the things that pop up the most at the moment that you need to know about, which are both related to your skill sets and what you need to know.
Awesome. Thank you. Let us know how that was,
yeah.
Joanne. We would love to hear from you. All right. So let's take another caller. If you want to pick between 1 and 18.
All right. Let's see. 9, my favorite number.
All righty. So number 9, your first 3 digits are 323. You are unmuted. Hello, number
Would that be
nine.
Me?
That's
that
you.
Would be you.
Would that...
Oh, wonderful. Wow, yes. Hi, this is Doreen.
Hi there. Hi. How can I
I would
you?
Like to know. Thank you. Now, I know our soul at times will do things to get our attention. I recently have been aware that I have, they're called superficial stomach ulcers. Is my soul trying to tell me something? Is something being moved through me? What's going on?
Yeah, let me take a look. Two different things. First off, there's that suppressed, there's some suppressed anger and emotion, but a lot of it's, while some of it's yours, a lot of it's not yours. A lot of it's coming from your lineage. And if I may ask, what is your ethnicity?
I am African-Caribbean American.
All right. So that's what I was seeing. And there's a reason why I wanted to address this, because two things. First, we, all of us, no matter what ethnicity we are, we need to eat what our ancient ancestors ate. Our bodies really haven't evolved that much. And so look at what your ancient ancestors were eating and see if you can try, you know, the best you can. Not like, it's not like going to be that perfect and easy to eat what your ancient ancestors ate, but look and see what they were really eating. See if you can move that direction with your food. You're going to see a complete transformation of your body, because you're going to be feeding it the stuff that it actually is used to. And even if you've never eaten it before, because your ancestry, we eat for our ancestry, you're going to feed the body what it's used to. That's the first thing. Secondly, obviously, your ancestors went through an incredible amount of pain and agony, much more than the average group of people. But one of the things that your lineage has forgotten, and this is one of those things that like makes me have huge emotional reactions, because what has happened to the African-American people is so heartbreaking, and they've forgotten who they are. And I can see it. There's a quality of light that's this beautiful deep purple color, and this will show up whenever I do readings for people, even if I don't have any clue what they look like or what ethnicity they are. The light will show up. This quality of light comes from a very particular group of people who came to the earth very long time ago. They are the ones who built the Sphinx. That's who your ancestors are. They came from Orion. And Orion had three planets that were inhabitable. But the people who came from what I call like the medium-sized planet, incredibly advanced. And so you've probably seen the movie Black Panther. But it turns out that that is actually a lot more close to the truth than people realize. That Black Panther. Yeah.
Yes.
It's actually a lot closer to the truth than people realize, because the Orion people came to Earth. They built the Sphinx. They built the original giant dynasties that the pyramids are built on top of. Most people have no idea there's actually giant cities underneath all of that, that are built on top of. It's all kept very secret because it's powerful stuff, and it would change a lot of what we know about history and empower people. Well, God forbid everybody's empowered. These are the people who were the what I call some of the original megalithic architects, highly advanced, and they were given an opportunity to live here, and they took it. So they came here, and then a long time through their incredible dynasties, probably some of the longest lived civilizations ever known. They spread out a lot, as you can imagine, but there was also a lot of corruption that was going on in Egypt. So the original priests said, you guys are all crazy. We're leaving. And they left. They went south. And they are now called the Dogon people. So I want you to go look at the books of the author, Laird Scranton. Got such an odd name. But it's spelled L-A-I-R-D and Scranton, S-C-R-A-T-O-N. He wrote the books about the Dogon people, pointing out that their language is a galactic language. Their language is a galactic language. Their writing systems describe quantum physics. And the Dogon people actually, in their stories, talk about how they're from Orion. So they actually preserve that knowledge and wisdom, and they exist as a tribe. And they are that tribe, or that the background, their forefathers are the forefathers of all the peoples of Africa and the Caribbean. And many of them even went down to the Caribbean. They went and discovered the Americas way before anybody did, and they built giant cities that are under the water in the Caribbean. So, wow. You know, what would happen if the African American people were taught this? I don't know, but I like to imagine they'd feel more empowered. So I want to tell you a little bit real quick about this light. It's this beautiful purple quality of light, and it has power, incredible power. It's the violet flame. And so some of the beautiful African American and Caribbean American and even Haitian Americans that I've worked with, this light can come through their physical gifts in incredible ways. For example, this one guy, I said, I see this light and you're able to absolutely heal giant groups of people, crowds of people, by speaking to them and singing to them. And he began to cry and he said, that's true. And I've held back and I have been at my church for a long time and I get up and I preach and it comes through me and I've watched people be healed by my voice. And I said, don't hold back. You're helping so many people by clearing them. The violet flame is the sort of universal clearing energy. It heals and clears. It makes room for healing to occur. Other people have been able to use it with their hands and their voice and their hearts. And, you know, when they're creating something or cooking food or speaking to each other, using that light for you is part of your ancestry. Use it to help yourself. Blow up your field and use that heart command that I said earlier with that first woman. Dear heart, please lift all this dense, dark energy, whatever you want to lift out now. And then you take a big, deep breath. And then you fill your whole body and field with the beautiful light of your ancestors. And watch your life transform from the inside out so that all that ancestry can come through and support you, because the original ancestors, they weren't sufferers. They were kings and queens from Orion.
Yeah.
Incredible engineers and absolutely brilliant. That's who you're from. That's the body ancestry you chose to be in this time. And part of your job right now is to help heal the lineage so that information can come through from the soul. So I know it sounds like that's not related to stomach ulcers, but it sure is, because if you can start to work with, if you can start to work with your DNA and clearing all this, the anger, the repression, you know, the slavery, that the lack of being able to have a voice. Of course, those people were subjugated that way. They were some of the most powerful people in the world, and that's so painful. But it can be undone in you. By you choosing that, clear your DNA every day, clear your lineage, ask them to stand behind you when you do that, and fill them back up with the light of their ancestors, and you'll see the ulcers disappear, and you'll see your own trauma and anger melt away with that light, because that's what your power is. Does that sound right to you?
Sounds amazing. Yes, thank you.
You're welcome, and enjoy Laird's book. He's such an odd guy, but he's such a neat person. He discovered He'd love the Dogon people, and he discovered the truth of their language. And he's a very important anthropologist in my book. Certainly yes. worth looking at what he says.
Yes. Now, a quick question. In regard to eating of the food, you're saying ancestral food. Are you saying because my family's Jamaican, am I eating Jamaican food? Am I looking for African-related food? Or am I going even as far back as possible?
Well, if as far back as possible, and a lot of the traditions of cooking did come to the Caribbean and Jamaica. So many of those same traditions are still there. And if you keep pushing back farther, you'll notice, hey, it's not that different. They were just using what
right.
they had available to them, certainly.
Right.
But, yeah, do some digging around. See what pops out as useful and then play around with recipes.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're very awesome. Welcome, my friend.
Thanks, Doreen.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Very fascinating. I love that food aspect, and I'm glad she asked for clarification on that because that's really, really interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
And I want to point something out real quick, if I may, Gretchen, is that with this eating of the food thing, you got to push back a lot farther than you think. So for me, like my ancestry is Scotch-Irish. And I'm not going to eat potatoes, though, because potatoes were not an original food of the Scotch-Irish. Instead, that came way later. So you got to push back farther. And instead, you know, I do. I eat oats, which is something they were eating. I eat goat cheese. I don't eat cow cheese because they had goats and sheep, not cows. That's the kind of way that you'll think about the food piece is you keep pushing back farther. And you'll notice, okay, so obviously modern wheat is out of the question because modern wheat didn't really exist until modern times. So einkorn is the ancient version of wheat. That's something humans who have the sort of Middle Eastern, Indian background, that ethnicity, they could eat that. Einkorn would be best for them. Or like in China and Japan, they didn't have cows, so they were not going to eat milk or beef. They had a lot of pig. They ate pork and rice. And so just looking at what your ancient ancestors were really eating, you got to push back quite a lot farther than it might seem.
Cool. Very interesting. That will be fun.
Yes, it is fun.
Yes, I bet. Yeah, I bet. All right, so I'm going to announce your offer link, and so everybody can take a look at that, and then we'll have some more callers. But the offer is orderjoynow.com/Elizabeth19. Again, it's orderjoynow.com/Elizabeth19. And Elizabeth, if you can go through a little bit about this offer so everybody knows what it is, they understand it, and what they can expect from it, that would be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to make sure that this was really affordable, and I wanted to give you a way to be able to work with me in a direct way, but a profound one. I love doing group calls pretty much more than anything. And so my group calls are small calls of 6 people at the most. Sometimes we only have 3 people or 4 people. But at the most, it'll be 6. And what makes my group calls really special is Source will put the exact right people together so that their needs, when they're getting their reading done, so I do a 20-minute reading per person. When they're getting their reading done, that person's going to be able to simultaneously help everybody else on the call because of all the information they'll get. But what makes my calls even more special is that turns out all of you are very wise. And so I actually ask for people to give feedback. What came through for this person through you? We want to know. Even if it's just a comment of, hey, I relate, or whatever. Maybe you have an incredible, beautiful gift coming through from that person needs. And so I want to empower you as someone who is wise to offer other people what you're thinking and what energy is coming through for each person. That can be very special. So you get two group calls with me, so you can actually do a call and then follow up later with another call, either on the same subject or something else. But I think that's really special, and you can use those. I have a lot of different group calls sooner than later. I'm booked out many, many months with one-on-ones. But if you get on the group calls, you can work with me way sooner. And I've even added some open dates today, so I made sure you can work with me sooner. And the second thing is, if you join my community, you get to have access to a free monthly call each month. And this special call, you get a subscription to it. It's called my Circle Community, and we just come in together on a live Zoom or YouTube streaming call each month where we talk about what's going on, and we just connect because I want to know how you're doing, and I sit and I'll answer questions for 2 hours. So we get to come together live each month. It's very special, and I love doing these calls. They're very profound. I've had a lot of people say that it changed their life to actually talk about these things really openly, and to be able to just know that there is a community out there like this, that they're not alone. The second thing that I'm offering is 5 different master's classes and a bonus call that I did. And the 5 master classes are not for beginners, not at all. In fact, I had one person come into one of my classes, The Playground of Time, and they said, holy cow, I got to listen to this like 5 times because this is so mind-blowing, and I'm wrapping my head around this, about the truth, about what is time and how to use it. But it was so beautiful and profound for them, and yet they knew it was not for beginners, so they were so glad they had that recording. They could listen to it a whole bunch of times and get new tidbits out of that. So that's the first class, is actually about the Playground of Time. How do you stop worrying about the past and future so much? How do you advance yourself by having a different approach to time? Then we have the second class, is the Equations of Enlightenment. There's 3 equations that I use every single day to help myself on my path towards enlightenment. And why do I know these work? Well, because certainly I'm not enlightened, but I've drawn these equations out of watching and reading about information or from people who are actually enlightened. What is enlightenment exactly, really? Well, we go into that and why these equations work so well. And so there's 3 of them. One of them is a equation you're used to, the golden ratio. The other is an equation of steps. And the third one is an actual geometric equation. And then the third class is Soul Skill Sets 101. What are the soul skill sets that your soul carries through many lifetimes? And how do you know which ones are really up for you? And then the big question, can you access all soul skill sets? So I'll give you a hint. Yes. Yes, you can. And I tell you how. The bonus call is, how do you know which skill set is yours? So I go into exactly how to determine what soul skill set is yours. And then the next class is one that is probably the most important class I've ever taught. It's called The Fields of Limitation and Limitlessness. As an anthropologist who's interested in the human species as a global and galactic species, I went in really deep to discover, what are the fields of limitation? What are the main programs that cause human beings to think and act as if they're slaves? And I found 5. So these 5 fields of limitation are very particular. I'll give you an example. One of them is around value, the false field of value, that we are told that we must value everything according to money, right? Your time is money. No, it's not. That's not true. In fact, the field of limitlessness, which is its opposite, says that everything has infinite value first, which is true. That money is just like a hammer. It's no different than the hammer at all. It's just a tool for allowing a flow of energy, a particular type of energy, a flow of a particular type of energy. That's all. So when we can step out of valuing everything according to this false field of limiting value, like money, what's it feel like to be valued and to value in a limitless way, in an infinite way? Well, that's just the first field of limitation. So in this class, I describe them in detail, and then I help you walk out of them so you can feel what it's like to feel fully connected to all that infinite light and energy that's available. And then we have the class Quantum Remote Viewing. Again, not a beginner's class. This is exactly how to do really great third eye work that really works. It's especially for all of you who don't think you can use your third eye very well. I guarantee you that by listening to this, you're going to completely change your mind about that. Most of what we've been taught about the third eye is not true, and it is the function of the third eye to be the imagination. That's the function of the third eye. That's the gateway into the source field, is through imagination. So I'll help you with that. I make sure you understand exactly how to use your imagination as a third eye exercise. And we move in and out of different layers of reality so that you can understand what the layers of reality are that you have full access to. Here's why this is so important. The physical human body, and this is a scientific fact, the physical human body is capable of perceiving information from all dimensions. You're already doing it. Your brain has structures, literally, on all dimensions. This is a fact. You can look it up. That the human brain has structures on all dimensions, and they've mapped them finally. So we know that this is true. The human body and brain can perceive information from all dimensions. That's profound, and I want to show you how to use that ability of your body. And then the last thing is music. I've been a musician my whole life, and so is my husband, and he's a really great producer, and he created a compilation of meditation music. His moniker is Bioluminescent, and he created this great compilation of meditation music that I love, and I wanted to give you a gift to be able to play with some of that music, because it can be really fine to listen to me talk and lecture for hours and hours, but sometimes you need some light that's not in the form of a lecture, but maybe in the form of a song. And I think that's really special. So a lot of this music is woven with incredible amounts of light, because that's his gift, and we are really glad to share it with you. And so that's the package in a nutshell, and I'm really excited to offer this to everyone.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And currently, it really is an affordable price. It's $147 for this offer. So it's really an affordable price. Elizabeth, who is really right for this offer? Like who is really the right person that is like, oh, I think this might be right for me? Who do you feel is the perfect person for an offer like this?
Yeah, I think if you're really interested in bridging the scientific with the spiritual, if you're interested in measurable results, and if you really want to have information that you can use over and over again, if you've been digging around for a long time and have really tried your very best to find the easy steps and the ways that will really work for you to reach these higher states of consciousness, if you're savvy about the general average way of thinking about that and you're ready for something more masterful that bridges that scientific piece with the spiritual, then that's definitely going to be for you. Again, this is not for beginners, and the wording I use can be very dense, but it's all wove with light. A lot of times people listen to these classes, Gretchen, and some people will fall asleep. That's actually a sign that there's a huge amount of energy coming from that MP3. And then they'll listen to it again, and they'll actually get a whole lot out of it, practices that they want to use, because I'm very, very practical. I always make sure that you have exact practices to play with. And once that happens, then they come back again and again to glean even more from it. So a lot of light is woven to this. I am a mystic in that that's one of my talents. I can weave light with my voice. I can weave light with the things that I create. And I want that for you because it's very potent. But if you're ready for something a lot more advanced, this is for you because it has to do with the science and spirituality, the bridging of these two things, finally. And that's the glorious place we're in time now. But that's the kind of person I think that this would be right for.
Perfect. Thank you for that. All right. So Joanne, who wrote in earlier, has written back in. So I just wanted to read what she said after your reading. She said, "Thank you so much. I had tears and shivers all over my body. I felt truly connected with my true essence. My soul has been guiding me to hear your guidance for some time, and everything came together so easily this morning, and I'm so grateful. Knowing more clearly how I can help and now seeing how effortless it can be is so helpful right now. Blessings and with so much love, Joanne."
Yay, I'm really glad. Awesome.
Very cool, yes. All right, I have a write-in here from Sarah, and she says, "Hello, Elizabeth. I always feel there is an invisible wall around me. What exactly is keeping my body and life trapped right now?"
Yeah. So, Sarah, you're what I call a collective empath, and this might resonate with a lot of people. I'm glad you wrote in. A collective empath has an incredibly large field, and if you were to compare their energy field to something, it'd be like a hurricane. They're just many miles across a lot of times. And what do you know about hurricanes? First off, they pick stuff up, right? They pick up dense objects. They can pick up rooftops and houses and cars, you name it. Well, that's exactly what you're energetically doing. And it might seem like you're just completely surrounded in all of the dense storminess. The fact is that one of the ways you can help actually use this talent that you have, because it's a talent, it might not feel like it, but by golly, I understand that. I would have never said that my ability to see was a talent until way later in my life. I thought of it as a curse. But this is not a curse. You're here to help to clean up the energetic mess that is here. Now, that's the job. It's not to identify what's in your field. Part of what happens to collective empaths is that they'll keep trying to identify what comes up in their field. Oh, what is this weird dark energy? Is this mine? Is it somebody else's? Is this depression or sadness? And what is this? And that's the exact wrong way of functioning. That's my job because I'm a psychic. I'm the seer. I'm the one supposed to identify stuff. The collective empath is simply meant to shift energy off the earth. And that's all. You're not meant to identify any of it. So save yourself the trouble of identifying it. Now, what's another thing that we know about hurricanes? That there's a center that we call the eye of the storm. And in the center of the eye of the storm, it's very peaceful. It's peaceful. It's quiet. You want your eye of the storm to be large enough for your comfort. So maybe your entire household would be large enough for your comfort. Then the field of the energetic hurricane that's picking junk up off the earth and giving it back to source is what it's doing. It's transmuting it on its own without you even having to think about it. All you have to do then is to command your heart space to be as large as your household. So you're commanding your heart space. Dear heart, make my center, peaceful center, as large as my whole house now. And then you take a big deep breath and you keep commanding it to do so until you feel the sensation that you have a peaceful space finally. And then anything that comes into your field, you'll notice it, of course, because you can feel it. It comes from the collective. It comes from the earth. Anything that comes in, all you're going to do is welcome it to leave, because that's all it's got to do. It just wants to leave. It needs your permission to leave. That's why it's continued to build up like a whole bunch of dense energy blocking you as if you're going to be smothered. Now you're giving it permission to leave. Dear heart, please give full permission to all dark, dense energies, all traumas and negative programs to fully leave my field as needed now. And you take a big, deep breath. Dear heart, fill my whole body and field with pure light so that I can be able to maintain this continued effort of cleaning up the earth and humanity now. And then you take another deep breath. But this is you. This is who you are. And this is what you're here to do. You don't need to identify the stuff in your field anymore. It's backing it up. So you let it go. And if it shows up, oh, there's some depression. All right, depression, you're very welcome to go on out. Up, down, or out, your choice. Oh, there's some anger. I don't know whose it is. Doesn't matter. You're welcome to go up, down, or out. Oh, well, I don't even know what you are. You're welcome to go too. And this goes for the happy stuff too. Oh, there's some joy. Joy, you're welcome to go up, down, or out, wherever you need to go. So let this be your way of being able to have full control over your experience again. Your job is very precious. You're here to help clean up the planet, and many of you listening are part of that group of souls who came to do that work. And I bow to you because it's not easy. However, it's incredibly important and powerful right now. And there's more collective impasse on this earth than there ever has been for a really good reason, because the earth is ready for us to finally change and for her field to be cleared as well. And that's what you're doing. The earth and the source field are your boss. And you're helping the collective get back into harmony with the earth by just being that large of a field, cleaning it all up. So thank you to all of you collective empaths who are doing that work. I really, really bow to you.
So cool. Thank you. Thank you for that. Sarah, let us know how that resonated with you. Oh, all right. So, if you have time, can we take one more live caller, Elizabeth?
Yeah, if you have time, we could take two.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
I've opened up the whole morning for us. So, yeah, happy
to serve. Awesome. All right. So, if you can pick between 1 and 26.
Yeah, let's actually take number 26.
All right. Your first three digits are 415. You are unmuted.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Elizabeth?
Yep.
Oh, this is Beth. I won't give you my last name, but we've talked before.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What
yeah,
can I look
I'm
at for you
the...
today, my dear?
Okay. Well, since we've talked in the past about my nails and, well, there's just
yes,
so much.
Of
How
course.
About you just look and see the most pressing thing? There's always issues. Is I'm wanting a partner. I'm wanting, you know, better, you
yeah.
know, with my nails. I'm wanting so much. But I've had a lot of changes. I did move my house. We had talked about that way in the past.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I did move.
That's a big
and I'm
change.
And to another place. Yes, huge. And
wow,
so I feel like
amazing.
I have had a lot of changes, and I'm trying. And I feel like there is a way that I'm changing, but I don't know. Just whatever you come up with would be fabulous.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, good. So usually when we've spoke, we really hone in on the physical, and this time I'm getting a lot more info about the spiritual situation. So that'll be
okay.
A little bit of a switch from what we usually approach. So this core of light that's coming through, that's the soul, and there's names for it. They call it the Shishumna or whatever. And I'd like to say that there is a past life that you have had where you were able to fulfill your very highest level of relationship your very highest level of self-healing, your very highest level of enlightened consciousness, right? So we have all these different, we have these different lifetimes, and some of them we didn't attain that. Maybe we failed miserably. And then others, in other ones, we are able to actually completely succeed in the things that we wanted. And those desires are very similar to ones you've had before in other lifetimes. And fair enough, it's really easy, important thing to want to have good relationships and want to have health, right? So I would like to suggest that you sit in meditation regularly, perhaps even every day for about 10, 15 minutes, and ask for the lifetime where you fully succeeded in getting all the things you really wanted, where you ask for that lifetime to come and chat with you. Because she will. And
okay.
She's gonna give you info. She's gonna give you ideas that nobody else can give you. Because she's you.
Wow.
And actually I do this regularly. I have a few different lifetimes where I succeeded in my ultimate goals. And I am informed by them, and I have learned so much from them, because they give me clues that are related to who I am in ways that another person could never do. And I also actually, and this is for if you're ready for it, I actually also use as advisors the lifetimes that I failed miserably. I use them as advisors too. And they, oh boy, they've got lots to say. So I use my soul lifetimes as advisors, and it's very simple. You just sit, open up, and you ask, hey, whatever lifetime where I succeeded fully in meeting these needs, and you name them, I'd like to have a talk with you. I'd like to know what you know, and you'll either get visuals, certain qualities of light will come through, sometimes audio. And if it's just light, let the light be information. Let your body just absorb the info, and it will unfold in its own way. So you might not see or hear anything, but the light will come through and inform you. It's all information. So it'll give you exactly what you need. This is something that I'm seeing right now will be very useful to you.
That's really amazing. That's something. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know,
nice to speak with you, of course.
Can I just mm-hmm. ask you, the broader question of all of us having these lifetimes where we've succeeded and we fail, but then we keep coming back because we keep have a job of bringing light to the earth, is that, you know, I'm just looking at like, well, you've succeeded in these lifetimes and these types. So it's not like you won the game because you succeeded in all these ways. I don't
there
know,
is no game to win.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah, it's I say succeed and fail because it's a common way of thinking about things. The truth is that there never is success or failure. It's simply informing the source field of whatever polarity or, of course, whatever polarity you're here to learn about, really, right? And so, for example, I'll use myself as an example. Big, huge polarity I've come to learn about as a soul is good and evil. And healing that polarity, I found that there was another one behind it, and it was dark and light. And then when I healed that one, I found another one behind that, formlessness and density. And I'm working on that one, so we'll see what's behind that one. But, it's polarities all the way down. All the way down
right.
to the original polarity, what is love and what is not love. So we all are here to discover the fullness of all the dark and all the light. So those lifetimes where I quote-unquote failed or whatever, where I was in the dark fully, I needed them. I needed those lifetimes because they show me then what light really is. And you can't know true light unless you know the dark. And that's really what the soul is there for with that learning, right? Does that make sense?
Right. Oh, yeah, totally. It just, when you're talking, you brought up a whole bigger, broader sense of just like what we're all doing here like in the whole gamut of things. So that's all. It just kind of opened something up in me. So thank you very much.
Oh, I love it. You're very welcome.
Okay.
Enjoy
your
new home.
Thank you very much. Thank you both. Thank you.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. That was a good one. I think everybody knows that one.
Yeah, totally. All right. So now, if you want to pick between 1 and 20.
All right. 15.
All right. Number 15. Your first three digits are 617. You are unmuted.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hi. Wow. Thank you so much for this call. This has been really interesting.
Oh, very glad to help.
Not really sure if I have a specific question, but I really resonated with the story about the man in his church and healing with his voice, and that made me really want to know, yes, I want to know, what is it? How am I supposed to be using my skills or whatever they are, because I am lost right now.
Yeah, I feel you. No worries, I got you back. All right, I'm just going to ask and we'll see what shows up. Yeah, well, I think that resonated with you because you are a communicator. Now listen, there's something about mastery that you need to know right now. Mastery does not happen until you share what you've learned. I think part of what has occurred too is that you've felt that you can't truly share what you've really learned. But don't feel like you can't share it to things that aren't human. I even tell people, look, maybe you're really isolated. Share it with your cat. Share it. Share it out loud. The cat will totally listen and absorb what you're saying, and they'll give you feedback. And, you know, our animals are very intelligent, and they're great beings to share with. But you must share. You must share information. You must teach. And it doesn't mean you got to teach a class. It means that the info will fully be embodied when you share it out loud, because humans have a frequency-based language, right? And that leads me to point out that you're very capable of doing light language. It's something you haven't played with quite yet, perhaps. But your skill set of communicator is tied to healing. They come, sometimes they'll glom together into a singular skill. And so the words you use and the way you use them with your power voice can turn into pure light, because frequency is wavelengths and so is light. So that's the quantum factor there. And how do you learn how to do power voice? Well, power voice is you thinking about what you want to say and then letting it drop into your heart, letting the heart put its additional piece on it, and then you're speaking it from the heart. All of this happens within a split second. And so with some practice, imagine the words that you're going to say, letting them drop into the heart and then speak from the heart. This will actually add more power, more light behind your words. And as you share and you're using the power voice, I've been using a power voice the whole interview. But that's because then people will actually be affected by that light, no matter what my words are. That's going to come through. And that richness has an effect on people from a very deep level. So that's the first things that I'm noticing. And how can you use this in a practical way? Well, you can speak to anything and heal it. You can speak to animals and plants and you'll help them heal. You can speak to babies and elderly people. Consider what vulnerable group needs you right now. Who's coming up in your attention? And that might change over time, but notice that and then make a move to then work with them. Volunteer if you have to get your foot in the door so you can be around that vulnerable group. And you'll discover what you're there to do. Perhaps it's to to read books to the elderly or to the little children, or hold little babies and sing to them in a light language. But I mean, lots of different ways that this gift can come through you. And as you move out of the way more and more, and as you continue to work on clearing any egoic structure, you're going to find that this all effortlessly moves through you. So that's really special. It's a very special gift that you have, and it's definitely needed at the moment. I think that will really help make a lot more sense of your life so that you don't feel so lost right now. Does that resonate with you?
On many levels, it does. From childhood, I was kind of hushed. So I've been rather insecure about using my voice.
Absolutely.
So how do you
manage that? Well, first you're going to need to go have a little chat with your child self, right? Because she didn't go anywhere. She's in your subconscious. So you have a chat with her. Draw her out. You don't have to relive the trauma, but you draw her out. How old is she? What is she wearing? And then you talk with her. What do you really need, little me? And she's going to tell you, I need to be really heard. I need to be respected. I need to be unconditionally loved for what I'm saying. And then you're going to take her someplace where she can get those needs met, where she's got enlightened parents, perhaps, who do fully meet all those needs, right? Meet her needs, and she will never have those needs again in your subconscious ruling your continued experience in the moment. When you're feeling that way and you're feeling hushed, it's because the trauma is ruling you. She's still there without her needs met. Meet her needs, and you'll be able to be in the present using your soul gifts. And really ask your soul. Chat with your soul, just like I told Beth. Chat with your soul. Ask your soul. Show me a lifetime where I fully succeeded in using my gifts for enlightenment and for healing. And just allow that information to come through, because she's got a lot to share with you. And that'll really help a lot. So those are the two ways you can shift out that trauma and then make a big jump forward for yourself to remain in the present with all your power.
Cool. I have one other little question on that. I've been exploring a lot of this stuff for a very long time. And my children are aware of this, but they tend to block me out. They're like, I don't want to hear it. I don't believe you.
Yeah, because you're mom, right?
Right. That's why.
You know, my approach with my children, because I have a family and a farm and a marriage and all these things, my approach with my children that works, and I'm also the oldest of seven, and I used to be a nanny for 9 mentally ill children. Not just a few, but 9.
Wow.
So I've raised a lot of kids. And the one approach that has always worked is that I completely stay out of everybody's field. And I emanate, I radiate pure unconditional love and non-judgment. And I say, I'm always here for you. If you need me, I'm here. One day, your children's souls will get curious about this stuff. And then at that point, because you didn't try to share it with them necessarily, but you had the door open with the library of information that you are, one day they're going to come to check out one of those books from you. They're going to come and ask you some questions. But the only job you have as a guide, because that's what parenting is that you're a guide to a very intelligent soul who's living in a very immature body. Your only job is to keep that door open. And what I've found is that my own mother asked me this the other day. She said, Elizabeth, how come you have a really good relationship with everybody in the family, but I don't? And I said, Mom, it's because first off, I don't judge anyone. And secondly, I have unconditional love. There's nothing any one of my siblings or parents could ever do to end that love. And lastly, I don't come to them with info. I wait for them to come to me, and I keep my door open at all times. So my mom can ask me a question like that, or any question she wants. My father does too. My siblings all do too. But they come to me when they're ready, and I never come to them. It's the other way around. That way they know that I'm always there for them, and they use that now. They use it. They use it to their advantage that that door is open. So you're just going to have to retrain yourself not to give them information anymore, but to actually stand in your power and say, I'm here for you, and I will be here for you no matter what, and no matter what happens. And if you need to know anything, I'm here, and you're welcome to ask my opinion. But then you don't have to put so much effort into trying to train them in a way that you think is going to work for them, or give them information that you think is so important to them in that moment. Let them come to you. And it's going to take a little while for that to normalize for everybody, including the kids. But as you do that, you'll watch people in your family will actually come to you. And so remove any attachments to... Good, but remove any attachments to their outcomes. Your attachments to their outcomes, and you're going to feel a lot more free and less blocked out from them, right? I think you totally know what I mean, but I'm trying to paint a picture for everybody.
I totally know what you mean. Yes, thank you.
Got it. No problem.
That makes me
glad to help.
Feel better. It's like they'll come. I'll give them some information. Most of the time, they're not ready to take it.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's
so
okay.
Let them be ready, and they'll let you know. They'll come into your field, and they'll be ready. Or at least they'll think they are, and then you'll give it to them, and they'll get to decide what they do with it.
Exactly.
Good.
Awesome.
Yeah, parenting, definitely a spiritual challenge, of course.
Yeah. Thank you for joining.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
All right. So Sarah, who had a write-in, wrote in after her experience, and she said, whoa, I always thought I was just a very exhausted empath, and I had tried not to feel as much as I can. Now I understand what I should do with these emotions. Thank you for the steps. Much love.
Great. I'm really glad, because that particular skill as a collective empath is incredibly important right now.
Yeah, totally. I can see that. Very cool. All right. So I'm going to announce your offer link one more time. It's orderjoynow.com/Elizabeth19. Again, it's orderjoynow.com/Elizabeth19. So Elizabeth, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. This has been a fabulous call. I love listening to you. I love listening to your readings. I think everybody got something out of every reading that you did. So thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I had a lot of fun, and I'm just bow to everyone on the call that I wasn't able to do a reading for you. I hope that the tidbits that came through are useful. But thanks for joining me today. It's been very precious. I really appreciate being on the call.
Awesome. Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. If you feel moved to work with Elizabeth, her offer is up now. Again, thank you all for joining us. If you have any questions, please let us know. Elizabeth, I hope to have you on the show again sometime.
Thank you.
You're a pleasure to talk to, and I really enjoyed this.
Thank you. I really enjoyed speaking to you too. And namaste to everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.